Over the past several weeks, we've been talking about discipleship, what it looks like to follow after Jesus. And we know that today, here in 2018, Jesus isn't going to show up at our workplace tomorrow and tell us to physically follow him. We know what the apostles encountered back in the first century isn't possible for us today. And so sometimes we wrestle with what it looks like today to follow Jesus. What that commitment is going to involve in our lives today. And so as we kind of wrap up this series over the next couple of weeks, I want us to look at some practical ways that we can increase our commitment to Jesus, some practical things we can do day in and day out that will help us better follow Jesus. In Luke chapter 6, verse 40, Jesus here says, "A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher." And so it's a picture of discipleship, a picture of becoming more like Jesus, more like our teacher. Another verse we're going to look at over the next couple of weeks is Luke 9:23. Here Jesus says to all, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Both of these verses, both of these statements from Jesus in Luke 6:40, here in Luke 9:23, they're centered on discipleship, centered on following after Jesus. So what does it mean to be a disciple? What does it look like to be a follower of Jesus today? One of the most difficult and important questions facing us in our century is, what does it mean to follow Jesus? Are we really doing what Jesus wants? And that's what this series has been about, for us to really look at our lives, how we are living day by day, and come to a conclusion that I'm either following Jesus, I'm the disciple that he wants, or there are some things that I need to change. If you go back and you look at the disciples in the book of Acts, if you look at Peter, you look at John, you look at all of these other individuals, you look at people who were committed to Jesus, you never question if they were disciples. I never questioned whether or not Peter was a follower of Jesus. Now, I know he had some good moments and he had some bad moments, humanity on display for all of us. But I never question whether or not Peter was a disciple of Jesus. And on the other side of that, I don't question whether Judas was either. Because you look at his actions, and his actions make it clear that he wasn't following Jesus. Somewhere along the way, somewhere along the path, he got distracted. And he quit following Jesus. And there was a period of time where he was still following him physically, but he had checked out emotionally. He had certainly checked out spiritually. And so we have those two extremes. We look at Peter, we look at Paul, and we see individuals, I know they're disciples. I know they are followers of Jesus. There's no doubt in my mind. I look at their life, I look at their actions. I know who they are. Now look at Judas. I know who he was. What about us? When we look at our own lives, sometimes it's easier to look at other people. I look at that person. Well, I know they're not following Jesus. I look at this individual. Yeah, they're committed. What about me? What about the person I see in the mirror every day? Am I really following Jesus? Have 2,000 years of religious movements confused the meaning of discipleship for us? Have the writings of humans watered down and muddied the waters to the point that no one is really following this man from Nazareth? Every sincere disciple seeks some confirmation that they are what God wants them to be. And if we just compare ourselves to the people around us, if we just look at people in religion today, that's not enough for us to confirm that everything is well with our souls. Merely feeling good about ourselves, it leaves something to be desired. Because we are on a quest to really know Jesus, to really follow him. In this quest to know if I am his, it has to be answered in the revelation of Scripture. We have to go to God's will. We have to go to His Word to really put ourselves to the test, to really look at that spiritual mirror to see if we are what we need to be. We have to start somewhere. And so what better place to begin than to search for the meaning of discipleship in God's Word? We know that Peter was a disciple. We know that Paul was a disciple. We know that Andrew and Philip and Bartholomew and Nathanael and Simon and Thaddeus were followers of Jesus. We know that there were 120 disciples gathered there in Jerusalem after the resurrection of Jesus, after he ascended back to heaven. There were 120 who were following Jesus. What did it even mean to be a disciple of Jesus? What does it mean today? How can we follow him today? There's two words we're going to look at over the next 2 weeks. The first word is learner. The word we'll look at next week is follower. To be a disciple of Jesus, we have to be a lifelong learner. And when I use this word learner, I'm not talking about it in the traditional sense. Now that's part of it. The book knowledge that we need to gain, that's important, but that's only a small slice of the picture. It's only a partial representation of what it looks like to really be a learner of Jesus. In John 8, verse 31, Jesus, he's saying to those Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, then you are true disciples of mine." So Jesus is speaking to Jews, and he's speaking to a group of people who actually believed. You know, Jesus, when he was alive on earth, he reached out, he taught. Some people believed, some people rejected him. Some were on a mission to kill him. And so here Jesus is with a group who believed in him. That's us. We believe in Jesus. And so we can find some common ground with the people that Jesus was talking to here in John chapter 8. These are people who believed in Jesus. This describes you, it describes me. And so Jesus says to us, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. Isn't that what we're trying to achieve? Isn't that the quest? Isn't that the golden grail that we're after? To be true disciples of Jesus. And so we don't always have to go to the latest book you can buy on the shelf at Mardell. We don't have to listen to some other human tell us what it looks like to be a true disciple, because Jesus, the one we're trying to follow. Now listen to how important this is. We want to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. I'm not interested in following in the latest writings of the 21st century fad writer, the guy who's popular, the person that's big right now. That's not my desire. My desire is to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. And so here he is, the person that I want to imitate, the person that I want to be like, the person in whose steps I want to walk. That's who's talking to us. And he tells us, if you want to be a true disciple, then you have to continue in my word. To be a continual learner of Jesus, it is a big component of what it means to be a disciple. I had several people last week ask me, what does this look like? What does it look like to follow after Jesus today? Because we're not Peter, Andrew. We're not James and John right there on the shore of Galilee. We're not out there in a fishing boat and here comes Jesus walking up to us and saying, follow me. That's not what we are experiencing. So what does it look like? How can I do it? And I appreciated those questions so much because it shows a desire to want to do it. I want to follow Jesus. I want to imitate him. But sometimes I struggle with knowing what to do. Well, listen to what Jesus says. If you want to be a true disciple, then you have to continue in his word. When the word disciples is directly translated, It actually means learner. Scripture really seems to be getting at something with this thought. Jesus seems to be pushing us somewhere with this thought. It's a push for us to build our lives around becoming lifelong learners of Jesus. If you've ever walked on campus, you may have noticed some of the monuments that are there, some of the plaques, some of the things that you can see. On the south oval in front of the library, there is a rock monument that reads, "The spirit of learning is a lasting frontier." Students probably aren't inspired by that as they're walking into the library. They probably read that, "All right, I'm going to go learn." But it is liberating spiritually to think that we can learn the ways of Jesus. It's empowering for me to listen to Jesus speak to believers and tell them, "If you continue in my word, then you are true disciples of mine." Because what Jesus does is he describes a path for us. He has lit the runway and he says, "If you will do this, I'm going to look at you and I'm going to see a true disciple." And we're looking for that confirmation. We want to be Peter. We want to be Paul. We want to be these individuals that God looks at and he says, "I know that person is following me. I know they are a disciple." We can learn to do the things that Jesus did, and we can become the same type of person that he was. Now, that is a big task, and it's not going to happen overnight. And the expectation of Scripture isn't that it happens overnight. How long did Jesus spend with the apostles? How much time did he devote to them? He didn't walk with them for a week and then set them loose on society. He didn't spend a few months with them and say, "Hey, you guys are fully trained, get out there." He spent years with them. And even after he left, even after he ascended back to heaven, they still had a lot to learn. They still had a lot of work to get done. Things to grow in. So how do we become this type of learner? How do we become this lifelong learner of Jesus? What's of particular interest to me is how we see these things played out in the Gospels. This is the way I think. I'll give you guys a scary picture inside my mind. If I know there are people who have lived on earth, real humans like me, and I'm thinking about Peter and Paul especially, you talk about people who were humans. Paul described himself as the chief of sinners. I can connect to that. I can relate to Paul. And I look at Peter, and I see somebody who's impulsive. I see somebody who speaks before he thinks. I see somebody who's up and down, kind of all over the place in his walk with Jesus. Somebody who's walking on water one moment and then sinking, thinking he's going to drown the next. I can relate to that. I can connect to Paul and to Peter. And so my mind tells me, if I look at Peter and Paul, I look at these two people who were real human beings, and I know in my mind, without a doubt, that they were true disciples. Then if I do what they did, I can be that as well. If I do what Paul did, if I do what Peter did, then I can also be a true disciple in spite of my humanness, in spite of my sin, in spite of the ups and the downs, the walking on the water and the drowning in the next moment. I can be a true disciple. And we see this played out in the pages of the New Testament. I read a book recently, and this book was talking about discipleship. And it was describing the ways that we learn as humans. And for us, we can connect to this because probably most of us, we have been through this. Here are the three main ways that we learn something as humans. the classroom, the lecture setting, where information is passed on to us. We sit, we take notes, we sit, we listen, and we learn something. That's one way we learn. Another way we learn is through apprenticeship, where we apprentice under somebody, and we learn to do what they do by watching them. And then a final way that we can learn is to just fully immerse ourselves into somebody's existence. We learn best when there is a dynamic interplay between all three of these. And this is what Jesus did for his apostles. If we look at Peter and we look at Andrew and we look at Thomas and we look at Nathaniel and we look at Bartholomew, we look at Philip, we look at all of these guys, and we know that they were followers of Jesus, then at some point, don't we have to go back and look at what they did? Don't we have to go back and really look at ourselves and say, am I doing what they did as best possible today? Because there's some things that Jesus provided for his apostles that allowed them to become who they became. There's a reason we read in Acts 4, verse 13, where the religious leaders look at Peter and John and they're amazed. They were amazed and they connected them with Jesus. There was a process that took place that allowed that to happen. I don't know how many in here are NBA fans. Maybe your NBA experience may just be isolated to the Thunder. When I was growing up, I liked the Philadelphia 76ers. I liked Dr. J. I liked Charles Barkley, Moses Malone. I think I liked them just because they beat the Lakers. My brother was a huge Laker fan. And I was always looking for the team that could beat the Lakers. And I would follow Philadelphia, and even still today, just because when I was a kid, I always followed the 76ers. I kind of kept up with them, and they went through the wilderness for a lot of years where they just stunk. They were horrible. And here recently, they started to get good again. And the general manager that kind of took them from that wilderness of never winning to this point where they're competitive again, he got fired. Usually happens. But he labeled what he was taking that team through as the process. And anytime somebody would ask him, what are you doing? Anytime somebody would question him about his plan, he would always say, I'm sticking to the process. I have a plan to rebuild this team. There is a process that we have to go through. For us to become a disciple of Jesus, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be convenient. It's not going to be comfortable. And it's not going to happen overnight. And if we look at ourselves and we haven't put in the work, we haven't put in the time, we haven't put in the effort spiritually, then how in the world can we consider ourselves a disciple? In my teaching career, when I'm working with students who are struggling, most, not all, but most are struggling because they're not putting in the time. They're not putting in the effort. And for us spiritually, if it's easy, that should concern us. Because becoming a follower of Jesus is probably the most difficult thing I'm still trying to do. It's more difficult than being a husband, and that's hard. It's more challenging than being a dad, and that's challenging. It's more challenging than any job I've been in. It's the most difficult endeavor that I'm still involved in, trying to become like Jesus. And Jesus knew it was going to be hard. There is a reason he spent that night in prayer before he chose those 12. There is a reason he spent that time with his father before he picked these men, because he knew what he was entering, and he also knew what they were going to be entering. Talk about the school of hard knocks. And so Jesus, he spent the entire night in prayer, and then he chose these men, and then he went to work, and he taught them. He literally took them to school. He set them down. He drew on the chalkboard. He pulled out the PowerPoints. And he said, all right, man, there's some things you got to learn. I've got to teach you. Sit down and listen. Sit down and take notes. Because this stuff is huge. And so you've got to learn some things. But it didn't stop there. He apprenticed them. They were able to look at him. They were able to see what he did. They were able to ask him, Jesus, how do we pray? They were able to say to Christ, how can I build my faith? He apprenticed these men, but then it even went a step further. It wasn't a 9-to-5 job where they checked in with Jesus at 9, checked out at 5. All right, my day of apprenticeship is over. It went beyond even that. It was full immersion. They were immersed into the existence of Jesus. That is how Jesus produced disciples. You think that was easy? You think that was easy for Jesus to teach these men? Do you think it was easy for him to apprentice them? To take these 12 men and fully immerse his life into them, into their existence? But it worked. Did it ever work? That is how Jesus produced disciples. And it's how those men produced disciples. And it's how those disciples produced more disciples. It's why we read about 3,000 being baptized in Acts 2. Because Peter, who was a follower, made more followers. It's what we read in Acts 8, where Philip goes to Samaria and tells people about Jesus. It's why we see the church growing rapidly, day after day. They had went through the process. And I'm afraid sometimes, as the church, as individuals, that process just demands a little too much. Because what do we typically do? Now think about what I've laid out. Think about the three different ways that we learn. I've described three different settings, three different strategies, if you will, that can help us learn as humans. The first is just sit in a classroom like we're doing here, to watch a PowerPoint, to hear some points in a sermon, to be in Bible class Sunday morning on Wednesday night. We have the classroom setting. But then that second and that third step, apprenticing somebody, actually immersing our lives into other people. What do we typically do? What does the church, over the past, let's say, 50 years, what have we done? I'm not quite 50, so don't think I'm 50. I'm not there yet. But if you go back 50 years, what would that be? 1968. From right before we walked on the moon to now here in 2018, how do we teach discipleship? This is what we typically do. This, right here. This is how we teach discipleship. We sit in a class. We sit in an assembly. And that's it. That's pretty much what we've done. And we wonder why it's not working. At least I do. Why aren't we making more disciples? Why am I not becoming a more committed disciple? Because we're not going through the process. Jesus took these 12 men through a process. Now we know one of them fell away, and we know that's possible today. But for those other 11 who went through the process, who learned from Jesus, the way we're learning here, I'm not minimizing this. We need this. We need Bible class. We need to immerse ourselves into God's book, into His Word. That's how we become like Christ. But to immerse ourselves into the life of Jesus, it's not just Sunday morning. It's not just Wednesday night. To fully immerse ourselves into Jesus, this becomes our life. Just like Peter. Just like Andrew. Just like Philip. If you were to ask these men, who is your life? All of them could write what Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 3. Jesus is my life. And so for us, Jesus has to become more of our existence. Whatever level you're at right now, I believe all of us could say, Jesus needs a little more of my life. And so we invest more time. We invest more energy. We invest more into Jesus. And it's not because we want to work our way to heaven. That's not what we're doing. It's because we want to become more like Jesus. I want to become more like Him. I want to become a true disciple. The process. And so next week, we're going to pick up right here because we're not done. We're going to continue to look at this process to see how we can better implement it into our life. Because I also know this. I know this without a doubt. Jesus hasn't left us a plan. He hasn't left us a process that's impossible to follow. Jesus has left us something in place that is possible for us to do. And so next week, we're going to pick up right back here. We're going to continue to look at what Jesus did in the first century to make disciples and how we can implement these strategies in our life. But I'll leave you with this for this week. Spend more time with Jesus. Spend more time in His Word. Don't be content with just a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night relationship. Make Jesus a part of your daily life, because it's impossible to describe discipleship without that. It is impossible to describe what it means to be a follower of Jesus without considering the daily walk that we have to have with Him. Maybe this morning you need to start that walk. Maybe this morning you're struggling in that walk. If you need to be baptized into Christ, what an opportunity right now. If we can pray for you as your church family, if we can encourage you and help you, because we're all in this together. We're all fighting for the same goal. So if we can help you this morning and pray for you, we invite you to come as we stand and sing together.